Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
So, good morning, early Sunday birds. Thank you for joining. Thank you for your time. I would like to start by grounding a little bit, just some movement and breathing, and I'll throw in a yoga song while we're doing that. My songs will be in Dutch, but you can find many, many songs in your own language if you want to use songs. So let's get up. Let's get up. So please stand up together with me so we can ground together. So just take a comfortable stance and bringing your arms up, breathing in and out. Feeling your feet, making a long, tall spine and breathing out, letting your head hang in, extending and out, let go. Two more times and out. Then you can keep hanging down, maybe a slight bend in your knees, heavy feet, heavy head, heavy arms, maybe making some funny faces. We can't see you. Warming up the face. Maybe a big yawn. Yeah. And then bending the knees more generously, rolling up slowly, vertebrae by vertebrae, until you're up again. Ah. Rolling the shoulders, taking deep breaths, energizing our body, waking up. Then a nice bend again, and we'll do this sideways, waking up the spine even more. Keep breathing with a little bit of bigger out breaths. Okay. And slow it down, slow down. Close your eyes just for 1 second and feel the feet. Don't overextend the knees. Let them be soft. Soft belly. Shoulders loose. Okay. And then you can roll down again, come to a seated position, and then I'll share you one of my opening kids yoga songs. I used to, like, when you start a yoga class, energy can be scattered everywhere. So a song is a good thing to start a class with. And this is a song I also use to just warm up their bodies. And it's a song they know. It's a tune, you know, I think it's a tune from Frère Jacques, I think. So anyhow, you can find something that works in your language as well. There are many Frère Jacques yoga songs you can find on the internet. So let's go ahead. Rec and strek, rec and strek, draai eens om, draai eens om. Dat doe je bij yoga, dat doe je bij yoga. Doe maar mee, namaste. Usually I would repeat it twice or three times. Kids love repetition. it depends on how the energy is in the class. If they're like quite calm and they have been moving all day, I can do one song. But if I feel like they're very pumped up, I would throw in a few more songs to really get them settled in. Okay, so what are we going to do today? Let's keep it a bit interactive. If you have like these very big questions you want to get answered, just type them in the chat and then I'll try to address them during this talk. Otherwise, I'll just go with the flow. I have lots of practical things I can share with you, things that I have learned that work, things that don't work over all the years that I have been teaching kids. So that is one main block, practical stuff that can be very useful. And then there's another thing that I would like to start off with, and that's, I can share as many practical things that I can, but I think a very good yoga teacher and a teacher of any kind is a teacher that knows very well why he's a teacher. So what's your why? I think that's one of the most important things to ask yourself is, why would you want to teach yoga to kids? Or why are you teaching it? What do you want them to learn? What's your main mission? Do you want them to perform the best sun salutation ever? No, oh, I'm so happy you say no. No, that's not your main why. So some people have a very big drive, and mostly it's because they know damn well what their why is. So can you type in the chat for me what your why is, why you want to teach or why you are teaching? I can, for myself, the main reason why I'm teaching yoga to kids is because I want them to feel good. It's as simple as that. So that's my biggest drive, is to make them feel good. And what does that mean to me? It means that I would like to give them a feeling of their body and how to self-regulate. That's great, isn't it? If we could have kids just do that, it's perfect. Yeah. So I, as a kid, I didn't feel in my body. I didn't know how to self-regulate. I'm still struggling to self-regulate. So yeah, it's a get kids to be happy, calm, and a healthy body. To expose them to something different, show them there is a big wide world out there, to have fun and play, to get them more in touch with their body. Yeah. So if, let's say, to have fun and play, to get them more in touch with their body, then if that is your why, then keep that in mind if you're teaching, because if you are going to focus too much on discipline, or if you say you like fun and play, then you know what's your drive. You should incorporate fun and play then in your class, and you should teach the kids that why fun and play is important, because that is one of the main mistakes or pitfalls when people start teaching yoga to kids, is that they transfer the adult yoga class to a kid's world. Kids get restless when they have to sit still. It's not relaxing for kids to sit still. Yeah, a little bit. You need to learn them the difference between movement and stillness. But if you want a kid to relax, just have fun and play. That's how they relax. So yeah, not so serious as an adult class. I think also that if you're teaching a class, these goals you have, like to expose them to something different, show them there is a big wild world out there. So tell me, how will you do that in a practical way? How will you form your class? What would you do to expose them to something different? Would you sing Sanskrit songs? Would you talk to them about India? Ah, okay, the origins of yoga. You see, so that is, you see how that correlates, how your why structures your class? So that is where you need to begin. What do you want them to learn? And then you work from there, because you can go to an online yoga class and you can have all these fancy things you learn, but keep in mind what you really want to teach. That would be my first main advice. I work with kids ages 5 to 17. That's a very big age range. Yeah. I'll go into the question later on, working with older kids, teenagers. What do you mean by teenagers? Are they like 10, 12, 14? Yasmin, can you be more specific? 12 plus. Yeah, okay. 12 to 17. Yeah. Okay, I'll address that question first, so then we've had it. I teach mainly very young kids up until 12, so I don't have a lot of experience in the age range that you were talking about. But I do know that those kids, they love restorative classes because they're very much in their head. They're a bit, I think it's a quite difficult age. That's why I haven't worked with them yet. So I don't have the best advice with that age range. But I do know that they like the stretching. They like the philosophy. You can take them to restorative, to yin. You can go into the Sanskrit namings. Yeah, and a lot of learning them how to self-regulate, I would say. So learning mindfulness tricks to self-regulate, yeah. But maybe some people that have joined have better tips than I have for this age. So if you have anything you can add, please feel free to do so in the chat. Okay, so we had the why. I think that's an important one. And then I want to do another song. So let's do two songs and then I'll tell you why we're doing the song. So let's get up again. This is a song you could do with older kids as well. They love it. It's a hip hop song, so it's kind of cool. So yeah, it's in Dutch, but they have English versions as well. So feel free to look them up. It's a hip hop song, and if you can, you sing along, but I invite you to do the moves, okay? So here we go. Hallo, mijn naam is Jo. Ik heb een vrouw en een kind en ik werk in de zoo. Op een dag komt mijn baas naar mij en zegt, Jo, ben je bezig? Ik zeg, nee. Hij zegt, druk op de knop met je linkerhand. Hallo, mijn naam is Jo. Ik heb een vrouw en een kind en ik werk in de zoo. Op een dag komt mijn baas naar mij en zegt, Jo, ben je bezig? Ik zeg, nee. Hij zegt, druk op de knop met je rechterhand. Hallo, mijn naam is Jo. Ik heb een vrouw en een kind en ik werk in de zoo. Op een dag komt mijn baas naar mij en zegt, Jo, ben je bezig? Ik zeg, nee. Hij zegt, druk op de knop met je linkervoet. Hallo, mijn naam is Jo. Ik heb een vrouw en een kind en ik werk in de zoo. Op een dag
Kom in baas naar mij en zegt, yo, ben je bezig? Ik zeg, nee. Hij zegt, druk op de knop met je rechterhand. Voet. Hallo, mijn naam is Jo. Ik heb een vrouw en een kind en ik werk in de zoo op een dag. Kom mijn baas naar mij en zegt, yo, ben je bezig? Ik zeg, nee. Hij zegt, druk op de knop met je hoofd. Hallo, mijn naam is Jo. Ik heb een vrouw en een kind en ik werk in de zoo op een dag. Kom mijn baas naar mij en zegt, yo, ben je bezig? Ik zeg, nee. Hij zegt, druk op de knop met je tong. Helle, mijn naam is en dan stop. Stop. Okay. Tell me, sweet little kids, how do you feel? How do you feel after this song? Energized, loose. Overjoyed, wow. Yay, my son says, great. Laughing, yeah. So some kids might say in class, tired. They might say things that aren't as exciting as the things we are saying here, and that's okay. So I use this song just to make them, I would use it to try and give them some more energy if I see that the energy is low. But the main thing is I ask, after the song, I ask, how do you feel? And they share how they feel, and that's it. It's not like we're going into it. It's just the naming of how they feel, just learning them that certain songs, certain things that we are doing bring up certain energies. Very simple, but it drops, yeah, little drops. Then I might do immediately afterwards another song. We'll do this song as well. So you can sit and you'll have to use your hands like this. Can you all do that for me? Yeah. Show me. Yes, okay. So with every finger, there's a sound. Sa, ta, na, ma. So if you're the teacher that likes to go into origins, you could explain what it's all about. But if you're not, then you're not doing that. So, sa, ta, na, ma. A big breath in, big one out. And then we'll all sing together. Sa, ta, na, ma. 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 Sa, ta, na. How do you feel? Peaceful, centered. Yeah, a clever way to move to stillness. Yeah, so you as a teacher, you know that. You use this song to get them into stillness. You're not shouting, be quiet! You just add in
a song that makes them go quiet. And you ask them, how do you feel? So they know it helps. Some kids might say bored, it's boring. That's okay too. Every kid can feel what it wants to feel. If it's bored, it's bored. That's just fine. I don't say, you're not supposed to feel bored. Or it's not like I would give him less attention, because that might be scary to me that a kid says a song I'm singing is boring. But I would treat it equally as someone who would say, I feel very centered. And then someone would say, I feel bored. It's just the same. It's equally good. So the usage of songs is tip number one, probably. Songs are good for regulation. Songs are good for uniting. Songs are good for rituals. Songs are good for warming up, for calming down, repetition. They know a song and it's like, yeah, I know it. And they're back. So songs, I cannot underpin, do you say that, underline, stress how important the usage of songs can be, especially combined with movement. We were talking, some of you were talking about self-regulating, how to learn kids how to self-regulate. One way I do this regularly with kids is, so I use the method of cosmic kids. Does anyone know cosmic kids? Can you show me in the chat if you've ever seen a cosmic kids, if you've ever seen her channel? She has a YouTube channel. If you don't know it, I'll type it in, cosmic kids. She's based in England. She's very, very good. Why am I saying this? Get lost of my own thoughts. So yeah, I use her method and self-regulation, but also why I use her method is she works with stories. So she has a Pokemon story, she has a Cinderella story, she has her own stories. She teaches you, if you go and get her classes, she teaches you how to write your own stories. So my frame is a story. So we always go on an adventure. And during the adventure, we do self-regulation, we breathe, we meditate, we do yoga. But the story is the frame. And so what I like about it is that it's also very inviting children to be to use their imagination, something that is bound to get a bit lost because of all the screen time they have and all things are over prepared for them. So that's why I am really, really fond of that type of teaching. But what happens in that type of class, if some of you work with that, is that kids can become overexcited. Their imagination is been heavily is working, and they shout out everything they are thinking, and I am doing this, yeah, and no, I want to do this. And it's very fun. But if you have like a class of 20 kids and all the kids are just showing what they are imagining in their head, it's like you go crazy. So but you don't want to punish them. You don't want to say, hey, stop telling your imagination, be quiet. But you don't want them to shout it out as well. So what we have learned is you can have a lot of imagination, but we try to keep the imagination for ourselves. We can talk about it after class. And if you feel you're getting overexcited, if you feel it yourself, and you can't manage yourself, we have the silent chair. So I let the kids decide. So if you feel like you're getting overexcited, you can choose as a kid to go and sit in the silent chair and calm down a little bit. Or if they are playing a lot with the kid that is next to them, they get the choice to choose another mat. So those are two choices they have. They can choose to switch a mat, and they can choose to go and sit in the silent chair. And it's not a punishment, it's a tool, yeah? And some kids do it by themselves And sometimes I would have to say to a kid, maybe it's time you went to the chair, don't you think so yourself? And then, mostly that'll help. What also helps in class management is I will hardly ever, and if I do, I feel a bit guilty if I do so, but I will hardly ever tell someone what not to do. I will look for a kid that is showing the behavior that I want them to do. So if like a kid is not doing the poses, I would look for a kid that is doing the poses and I would say, wow, you are so good at doing this pose and you're working so hard, wow. And the energy in the room is like, wow, what? And then everyone is doing it. So that is a much more empowering and fun way to let kids do what you want instead of. Something else that I use is music. So I have this one. It's very calming, as you can hear. So this is one I use when I put them in Shavasana, the end rest. For some crave the rest. Some would just fall asleep when you put them in on a mat. But lots, just like adults, lots can't wait to get back up again. They can't even close their eyes. They're fidgety. So I walk around with this one. And if I see a kid doing very fidgety, I go over to them. And then I close my eyes. I invite them to do the same. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I also have my singing bowl. And my singing bowl, I always lose my thingy. So I have a scissors right now. You always find something. This one. This is one I use. We have like three golden rules. Every class starts with three golden rules, and they all know the rules, but I start, even though they know them very well. We start off class every time we repeat them. My Shavasana is usually around 2-3 minutes, sometimes a bit longer if I play some music or tell a song, or if I wrap up, or if I let the story continue into the Shavasana. So it really depends, but Shavasana should never be too long because then it becomes a punishment. It's better to make it a little bit smaller than bigger for kids. So the three rules, I think kids, they love that a class is structured. That is something I struggle with in the beginning. I had like so many ideas, so many tools, so many things I wanted to do. But kids love prediction and they love structure. It gives them safety and then they can relax. So that is one of my top tips as well, is always use the same structure. You can vary in the structure, but have the same predictability. And so I'll tell you, do I have time? Yeah, I can tell you. I would love to share how my class is structured. Is that a good idea? Okay. So I have 1 hour class. Yes, okay. I have a 1 hour class in a school. I think schools are actually a very good place to teach kids yoga. If you're struggling to find kids to come and do yoga with you, then go out to places where kids already are instead of letting them come to you. Yeah, so schools are a great place to work with kids. You have many. My class already starts when I pick them up at the playground. So my class does not start the second day or on the mat. The class starts the first second you meet them, and it's an important part because you know my main drive is to make them feel seen, make them feel heard, make them feel safe, make them feel like they're okay just the way they are. So this is a very important part of me, is meeting them and saying hi and being happy to see them and how are you, and gathering the kids in the beginning, it was like, hush, 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 we really have to, I only have 1 hour, really, we have to go fast. So now I go in time, I am there like 20 minutes before my class actually starts, and I take time to gather them, to talk to them. I shout out their names, so I make sure I have them all. And then I have a list of their names. And if you hear your name, you have to say namaste. So I can say Wendy, and then Wendy has to say namaste. I can say Tony, and then Tony says namaste. Marina, namaste. They love it. Yeah, they love it. It's a very simple thing. You see, you already are smiling because I said your name and you could say namaste. So kids, they love it. Yeah, namaste. I am here. I exist. You see me. I see you. We are here together. Also, namaste is the secret yoga code word. So only we know about namaste. They love secrets. Yeah, they have to pee. Make them pee before class. Because when one kid wants to go to the toilet, they all want to go and your story is finished. Chaos. So they have to, even if they don't want to, you go. Did you go to the toilet? Okay. Then they come up, so I have 1 hour. So when we get up in the room, the hour starts. Yeah, so I use 1 quarter before to gather them. And then when we get up in the class, we start. I make sure it's all prepared. So don't start getting out your mats when the kids are there. Do it beforehand so they come into a prepared, relaxed room. And you do it the same way. Because if you do it another way, even if you change like the color of the mat, they will say, why did you change the color of the mat? Why are the mats over there? La, 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 la. So do it the same if you can. Like if you work in schools, you often have to change rooms because then that room is unavailable, then you have to go there. If you have that, you know it's going to be a chaotic class because you just had to change rooms and they're not used to it. So yeah, make sure that your class is set up well. And then I take 15 minutes, that's a long time, but I take 15 minutes to ground, to take off your shoes, to take something to eat, to take something to drink, to sit down together and chat. Because, you know, that's again, it's my main drive, make them feel seen, make them feel heard. And we're just happy to be together. And they have time to sink in. They eat something, they drink something. And then after 10 minutes, I would say, we have 5 minutes, let's wrap it up. And every kid, and if you're ready, go and sit on the mat. And I will give praise to kids who go and sit on the mat. I would say, wow, look at her, she's ready. Wow. And then all the other kids again, oh yeah, she's ready. And then all the other ones, because you could also say, Wendy, can you please eat in 5 minutes class starts? Yeah, it's a whole different thing than I would say, look at Tony already sitting on the mat. And then Wendy would be like, oh yeah, Tony is already sitting on the mat, let's go. So it always works, praise works very well. Then they are all sitting down. And then I say, okay, let's start. Who knows a golden rule? All the hands go up. Yeah, me, me, me. And the three golden rules, you have to, I would suggest using them, but using your own. So my three golden rules came into being because those were the things I always had to repeat. So instead of always having to repeat, I just say them at the beginning. My three golden rules are: one, stay on your own mat and don't fidget on the mat. I go crazy otherwise, my concentration goes away. The second one is copy the moves that I do, because we go into a story and I don't explain the moves, you just have to go along. And the third one is we are silent when the teacher is talking. Yeah, that's why we also have the silent chair, because if they are all talking, then the story doesn't get told. Those are the three golden rules. And then we have this special tool. If it's getting too chaotic during the class, the teacher, me, will do this. And it's like Pavlov's dog. If they hear this bell, they all know they are so well trained. If they hear this bell, whatever they are doing, they have to go and sit like this. And they do it immediately. It's like they are on the watch out for when is she going to ring the bell. And they're like, chop. And they know that we don't do it to get all giggly, because you always have kids that when you do it, they can't manage the silence and they get like, and they do like funny things. And I don't punish them for doing so, but I keep explaining that this is a self-regulation technique and we are doing it because we want to calm down a little bit so we can have the concentration again to pick up where we were. Yeah, so that's it. Then we always start in the same way, and that is by crossing our legs, placing our hands together at our hearts, and saying our secret yoga code word. And then I will pick a kid. It's always another kid who can say the secret yoga code word. They are always so proud. They can say it. Yeah, me, namaste. And then we go and sit together and then we say namaste. So let's begin. The adventure always begins by looking through our yoga brill glasses. Okay. And then we look who we are going on an adventure with. And then we have the adventure. I am not going into the details of the adventure. You can check that on the Cosmic Kids screen. And also at the end of this class, Mark will give you a link to an interview that I have once done. It's like 5 years ago already, but there's a PDF file with a class sample. So there's a story that I have written, a yoga story that I have written. So yeah, you can do that on your own. When that is finished, when we leave the adventure, so the Shavasana is included in the adventure, yeah? So we will go on an adventure, we will do lots of stuff, we will breathe in the meantime, we will do mindfulness in the meantime, we will do yoga, we will express emotions, we will use our imagination. And then we slowly build like a normal yoga class. We slow down and I bring them slowly into Shavasana. And then depending on the story, I will play some music or keep on telling the story. We're still in the story, but I try to calm them down. And then they get back up. And then depending on how the story was, how the energy is, I might do some songs. Let's do another song. We have time. Yeah, we have time. So let's do another song. It's an English one. I am happy. I am good. I am happy. I am good. Satanam, Satanam, Satanam Ji. Waheguru, Waheguru, Waheguru Ji. I am happy, I am good. I am happy, I am good. Satanam, Satanam, Satanam Ji. Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru Ji. Or I might also do a very quick one. I can do this one in English as well. Tick tock, like a clock. Till I found my center. Yeah, so depending on energy, we would end with a song, and then I have a magic wand. I don't have it with me now, but like a stick, a magic stick, and I will, because I put three kids on one mat. So we're in a circle and I have three kids on one mat. So I will pick a kid and I will say, if you feel the magic wand on your head, you're the one to roll up the mat. So I use them to clean up the classroom. But they love it. They love rolling up mats. So yeah, if you get touched by the wand, you roll up the mat. They bring the mats to me. They have to put on their shoes. So then it's, we still have like 10 minutes when I end the story. So they roll up their mats. Sometimes it's 15 minutes, depending on how fast the story went. And they have to first put on their shoes. They already had to put their snack boxes in their rucksack, in their bag, before. They cannot go on the mat at the beginning of the story without first having put all their stuff in their bag, because it gets very chaotic at the end of a class. So also try to have that structured. And when they have done all those things, when the mats are rolled up, when they have put on their shoes again, they can come to me. They get paper and I have pencils, and then they can, how do you say that in English? Verwerken. Can you type that in for me, Wendy? What is verwerken nu weer? And then they can digest the story in that way. Yeah, like, they can make something that they can draw a character they met, or they can do whatever. So I don't give them an assignment, but I give suggestions. I might say, oh, you could draw the unicorn we met, or you could do something with the mermaid or the whatever. And those last 10 minutes help you to clean up the room to make sure all the bags are prepared. And then I always try to finish at the exact time, because I'm a parent myself. And if I go and bring my kids to something, it's nice if they just come out at the right time. So yeah, that's giving praise. I think I've incorporated everything. Yeah. Do you have any questions? We still have like 10 minutes on average. Yeah, we have like 10 minutes to go into. Oh, yeah. What I also still want to say, but you can type in your questions if you have any. But I would like to honor and thank my two kids yoga teachers. So I already mentioned one of them, which is Jamie from Cosmic Kids. I've learned heaps from her. And the other person that I've learned heaps from is Helen Purperhart. It's also in the bio, but I'll type it in here. She's the one. So I use a structure from Jamie for my the covering of my class. And I use many techniques like the songs and all the tools around self-regulation, songs, little games and things. Those are all inspired by Helen Purperhart. Like for instance, this thing, the snow globe. That's a typical thing yoga teachers for kids might use, because it's like a metaphor for the brain. So you can show like some days we're very scattered and it all, the mind, the monkey mind goes everywhere. But if we slow down and just sit still and breathe, we can see clear again. Yeah? So that's a nice one. There are many nice tools, so really check out Helen Purperhart. She has many, many cool stuff you can order, like cards and things. How long is the adventure then? Mostly it's 20 minutes. Yeah, so that is something I would strongly suggest in the beginning when I started teaching. It was like, but people are paying and I have to... this adventure cannot only be 20 minutes. That's like not enough, but it is more than enough. It's more than enough. 20 minutes is enough. Maybe if they're older, you can do more, but my stories are usually like 20 minutes. If they're very engaged and we do like many, we incorporate many mindfulness exercises or games, it might take a bit longer. You can feel it, but you have your adventure. That's your biggest lead. And then you incorporate. When you're the funniest thing that occurred in your class, it's probably what? What is the funniest thing that happened in the class? Yeah. Well, the funniest thing. Oh, there was a few weeks ago, there was like, it wasn't really funny, but it was like, oh, there was a kid, we were doing the frog. So when you do frog, you have to bend like this. And it's a kid, he's 5 years old. And he stood there in that pose and he said, "I had a shit." and he felt so ashamed also. And he was there like, and all the kids were looking at him and I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do with this one? And I was like, but I have 20 kids in class. And my first reaction was picking a bigger kid, like the oldest kid in my class. And I said, Winter, she's called Winter. Do you want to go with him to the toilet and just check what is really going on and then tell me and I'll continue the story? But then I looked at his face and he was like, no way I am going with Winter to the toilet. And he almost started crying. I was like, okay, this is something I need to handle myself. So I said to the kids, okay, everyone, I don't remember what I had my class, what I said to my class, what they had to do, but I went with him to the toilet. And yeah, it was just a little bit, it wasn't that much. So I really tried to comfort him and he was like, I want to go to my mommy. And I say, yeah, I know you want to go to your mommy, but your mommy she can't come right now, but it's okay. And you see, it's not that much and we'll take off this thing. And you know, we will say that it was only a little fart that you didn't, it was not a shit. We will just say it's a little fart and everything is okay. And he was so relaxed. And then I said, I will take your panties and I will put them here. No one will even see and we won't tell anyone. And then when we came back in, they were all very curious. And what happened? What happened? And I said, no, it was only a little fart. It was nothing. And then we just continued the class. And yeah, so that was one. I also had a kid pee. Yeah. So you see, peeing and pooing before class is very important.
Thank you. I just want to bring your attention to the Q&A box because there's some questions there. We have already some questions there, and we have in the Q&A box, not in the chat. We have one that was written by Apple at 9:30. So I think that that we should honor it.
There's a Q&A box. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. So the question is, with virtual class, the kids seem to enjoy show and tell. Whenever they have something to say related to the theme story, they rush and get their toys and share their stories. I usually allow them to share and try to stick to what we need to do for that session. To allow them to express themselves and also to honor the time to do yoga.
I have been teaching many virtual classes since COVID, and that's such a hard one because you're not in the room with them. You can't really manage what they are doing in their room. But like with adult yoga, I mute my participants when I teach. So they can show and they can do whatever they want, but we don't hear them. And it's just like in class, they're not supposed to talk when I and giving the story. So they can share, they will share, they will babble on in their own room and they can go ahead, but we don't hear it. And if they want to really share something at the beginning, also in my virtual class, the beginning, they have time to express. At the end, they have time to express. But during the story, I don't encourage much expression of that in the group. Loving this, okay. Any big don'ts, things that you have tried that do not work at all? Shouting doesn't help. Being nervous yourself doesn't help. Like I said, not having a routine does not help. Being negative does not help. Yeah. Have you ever had with kids with special needs? Yeah, I have many kids with special needs. And also it points to me, what if a kid doesn't want to come to the yoga class? Then it doesn't have to come to the yoga class. That is something that in the beginning I felt very uncomfortable with, but if a kid doesn't want to come to your class, there's no fun for no one, not for the kid, not for your group. Not for you. So, and that is something I stress that in the interview that you had the link that you can check. It's one of the, I think it's very important that you, I also have a free tryout class and I give feedback to parents as well. If I feel like they're not really into it, I don't think it's a match, I will say parents, they can try. I have, my classes run for five weeks. Usually after 5 weeks, they will stop. So that is also something you can do. Like, don't get them to engage in a lifelong journey with you, like 5 weeks, and automatically that will settle itself. Human sushi rolls using their mats. Yeah, they love it. And you can do a game, but they cannot do it during your class. It's chaos. Yeah, so they can do that. They can make the sushi rolls. I even have pictures. If you go to the link I shared, I have pictures of kids rolled up in the sushi mat. Yeah, so special needs, I have them, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So I have kids with ADHD what's it called, doesn't matter. Sometimes they love it and sometimes it doesn't work. So, and sometimes people say to me, but my kid, the yoga, it will not be for my kid. And I say, let's give it a try. And sometimes it's very unexpectedly that it works. And sometimes very unexpectedly, it doesn't work. You think that's a kid for yoga and then doesn't work. Best time to do yoga for kids? Anytime. Always. best time as a teacher or as a parent? Because as a teacher, you just have your schedule and you have to do it at the time that you have your class. So that is then the best time. Oh, I think acknowledge the last question. What is the best technique to help a child that is anxious about going to school and cries? What helps calm them down in that situation? Listening, acknowledging, being there, saying, yeah, you're scared, aren't you? You can cry. But we still have to go to school.
Jesus, that was lovely, amazing. I know that questions are continuing and this is so interesting and there's so many things we can say about this. And I love the way you shared your experience. You're so lively. It's like we can so much see that you love what you're doing, that you're like, you know, embodying it.
that's so nice to hear.
I really had a lot of fun. So before I come back to you for your last top embodiment tip, you have 1-2 minutes to think about it while I do the last announcement. So if you would like to continue the discussion, maybe some of you can continue sharing some tips about this and so on. You can join the coffee breaks. I know that for me, often I don't really feel like just closing down the screen, you know, so many things have been moving inside of me, so many things that I want to explore more, talk more, and especially as an attendee when you don't have, you know, the same visual interaction and so on. So maybe you want to be heard from your voice, so you can join the coffee breaks. We have also the Facebook group, the yoga Facebook group to continue this specific discussion and other yoga discussions, or the embodiment conference, also Facebook group that I do invite you to join. They are like so lovely with such beautiful communities. I really love them. I would like to thank once more time our channel sponsor, Leslie Kaminoff. If you're a yoga teacher and you're interested in anatomy, he's really, really doing amazing, amazing work, and is very, very useful and can change the way you see a lot of anatomy and how is it transferring into yoga. You can find, and she posted some links earlier, and our beautiful tech host will also do that. But let me tell you how you can find Isis. So her website is manoyoga.be, so DE for BE for Belgium. And last but not least, we're in the last day of the conference, and I don't know about you, but for me, for sure, it has been a great, amazing, empowering experience. And I definitely did not have time to watch all of it, neither even one channel. So the next step is that you can purchase the conference for 50% off until Tuesday. If you cannot afford, or you will also like maybe to donate more than the 50%, more than the access to the library, you can donate to the conference or to one of the charity that is supported, because that's, I would like to emphasize that this conference has been and is free of access during the conference live and for 48 hours for all the sessions. And this actually, everyone who purchases or everyone who donates is supporting embodiment to be known and seen by the world. And I do strongly believe that we need more embodiment everywhere. So you are actually supporting embodiment in the world. And I think that is a beautiful cause. You would like to join the next session will be What Does It Mean to Embody Yoga with Patty Townsend in 1 hour. In the meantime, you always have the coffee breaks. And before we close, I will ask Isis, what did you have time to think about your top tip embodiment?
It'll be just something I come up with right now, because I find it very hard to give one top tip on embodiment. But it has nothing to do with kids, but my top tip for embodiment is movement or touch. I think if I want to feel embodied, if I feel like I'm very much in my head, and I want to go to my body, it starts with touch, like, or feeling the touch of my breath. It can be interior touch, outside touch, myself, or cuddling someone, like oxytocin releases. So touch, very important to be in my body. And movement, just make little, and breath is also movement. So if you feel like very depressed and you don't even want to move, then breath can be a great way to move. So yeah, my top tip for being embodied is movement and touch.
Thank you, Isis. That was wonderful. And thank you everybody for joining and for joining with camera on also. So you have a lot of fun, and thank you everyone. Enjoy the conference.
Okay, bye.
Bye.